Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. An Ohio Senate committee is scheduled to hold its fourth hearing on Senate Bill 5 at 4 p.m. today. Thousands are expected to flock to the State House in protest. This bill would eliminate collective bargaining for public employees and is widely contested. What do you think? It's an open forum this hour. I welcome your calls on pretty much anything you want to talk about, but the Senate Bill 5 issue seems to be at the top of a lot of people's lists. So if you do call about Senate 5, first tell our screener if you're for or against Senate Bill 5. You can call 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. It's called All Sides with Ann Fisher. So you can go there as well if that is more convenient for you. What do you think about Senate Bill 5? The Senate committee is scheduled to hold its fourth hearing on Senate Bill 5 at 4 p.m. Private and public sector union heads, leaders of liberal activist groups, and Democratic leaders such as former Governor Ted Strickland have urged demonstrators to flock to the State House at 1 p.m. today. There are projections that up to 20,000 could swarm Capitol Square today, despite the snow and ice afoot. What do you think? 614-292-8513. Is it time for the unions, the public employee unions, to give back, to cut back? They've had a lot of advancements over the last 25, 30 years. Is it time to maybe give back, take a break, take some cuts, that sort of thing? And is that different than actually giving up collective bargaining rights? 614-292-8513. And I'm looking for calls from people on both sides and from across the continuum on this issue, not just one side or the other. So we'll try to keep it as balanced as possible. If you support Senate Bill 5, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And if you're kind of in the middle and you aren't sure, give us a call and let us know what you're thinking. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And some other issues. Why don't we listen to the Wisconsin demonstrators this past, I guess it was yesterday. In Wisconsin, Senate Bill 11 might have already been voted on already if Democratic senators didn't continue to walk away. NPR reporter Steve Inskeep spoke with Wisconsin State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, the Republican leader of the state Senate, about Senate Bill 11 in Wisconsin.
Are you taking advantage of a crisis now to push against unions because they do not politically support you?
No, this was created. These unions were created in 1970 by the Wisconsin legislature. And over the last 40 years, what's happened is through arbitration and other negotiations, the scales have been tipped in favor of the unions. And the problem with that is that we're hearing from local elected officials that are saying, listen, our hands are tied.
Our question is this playing out much the same way here in Ohio? Some folks say that it's the same sort of issue that eliminating collective bargaining rights for the public employee unions won't get to the bottom line of the projected $8 billion shortfall in the state budget. By the way, Governor Kasich is supposed to introduce his budget in mid-March, just about, well, a little less than a month away now. So we'll find out what his plans are then exactly. But for now, Thomas in Circleville, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I've been on a couple times. I'm going to try not to rant and rave.
Okay, good.
The Republicans are in charge now, and they're going to shove everything down our throat as much as they possibly can. The reason why you have unions was to protect the workers from management that abused the workers, and, you know, we could solve all our deficit problems if we do what the Republicans want us to do, and I think that would be $5 a day, open up state stores, you know, and have state housing, and just like the old coal mines and some of the automobile companies used to do in Detroit before the unions were formed. And so now they're trying to take away the power of the unions, so they again can abuse the employees. And I'll take my answer off here for anybody who wants to counter it. I'm waiting. I heard you breathe there.
I just gasped. No, I'm just kidding, Thomas. Thanks for your call. Appreciate
it. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I would love it if somebody who supports Senate Bill 5 or isn't sure, maybe disputes what Thomas just said, gives us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I'm wondering as well, kind of an ancillary issue, what you think about Governor Ted Strickland. He returned to the State House last week to offer his support to union members and oppose the collective bargaining bill. Let's hear what he had to say.
This is not right. It is unfair. This budget crisis is being used as an excuse to destroy organized labor in Ohio. It cannot, it must not happen.
What do you think? Governor Strickland here labeled Senate Bill 5 as an excuse to destroy organized labor in Ohio rather than achieving the balance between labor and management that the governor and the sponsor of Senate Bill 5 say they wish to restore. What do you think about Senate Bill 5? And also, what do you think about former Governor Strickland showing up at the State House, showing up at the demonstration on Thursday? Some people said maybe it wasn't an appropriate thing to do, that he was voted out of office and he should stay away from the fight. Let me know what you think. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Marysville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Just three quick points, because I know you have a lot of callers. First, I want to say I'm actually getting a job, because today I'm subbing at noon. So apparently a teacher's taking off the afternoon to maybe go down to the rally.
Okay.
So that's good news.
But we don't know, but maybe.
But maybe, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm only speculating. I think this is the pivotal question. I mean, I don't think I am just surprised at the lack of realization of really what's going on in terms of what's happening to the middle class, in generally speaking. I think that this is an important issue that I hope everybody becomes aware of, the attempt to stop collective bargaining. I mean, this is absolutely pivotal, and I hope everybody considers the gravity, no matter what position you take.
Okay.
I do want to say one thing that I can say, that one criticism of unions that I have.
Okay.
And my criticism of unions is that my experience has been as a part-time worker, or as a worker, for example, at UPS as an unloader, I always found that they stiff the new workers or the temporary workers. They would charge us union dues, even though we really hardly make enough money to pay it. So I always felt that unions have done a disservice by not representing newer workers. They've always worked hard for their rank and file, mm-hmm. but never the newer workers entering it. That's my only criticism of unions.
Okay.
But I just say go unions, and we need to protect the collective bargaining of our state workers.
All righty. Well, thanks for calling, and thanks for taking care of our kids today.
I'm proud to do it.
Take care. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Margaret from Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. I am a supporter of unions. However, I guess my issue with the union that represents our teachers has become a pretty powerful union. And I do know that some of the benefits that they have because they are members of that union seem a little out of whack at this point. I actually work for Ohio State University, and we sort of had a freeze on things like salaries, wages, any kind of increase in pay. So I do feel like there's things out of whack, but I would hate to see unions go by the wayside, because I think they have a very important place in our society. But
Margaret, let me ask you
one other issue I want to bring up, mm-hmm. is the double dipping that's done. And I don't know that this has anything to do with this issue, but I do know that teachers and other people, administrators in schools, retire and then get another job in another school system and begin another, and they're able to double dip. And I really think that's wrong.
I don't think that that has anything to do with unions.
It
I think that's just legal. I mean, once you retire, you should be able to go out and get another job if you want.
Yeah.
But it's often administrators, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. It's usually principals or superintendents or something like that. But
Margaret,
let me ask you this. Do you think your school board does enough to negotiate? You know, do they when they go to the table with the union, do you are you comfortable that they're negotiating?
I think sometimes they're held, I think it's very frustrating for school boards, quite frankly. And again, I am a supporter of unions,
mm-hmm.
don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And teachers, good teachers, you know, it's a wonderful profession, and I have all the respect in the world for it. I know unions are representing a lot of other workers for the state, but I think the experiences that I am speaking from, I think that they have done their best, and I do think they're sort of held by the the teacher union in particular, because what are you going to do? Teachers go on strike, then you've got, all these kids that need to be taught, and you have that whole issue. So I think they do. The experiences that I have seen, I think they have done a pretty good job trying to meet the union requests, or however you want to state that,
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and thanks
your
call. Take
You're
care.
Welcome. Bye-bye.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to our Facebook page if that's more convenient for you. Jim from Dublin, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for taking my call today.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to Governor Strickland, I find it ironic that he's down at the State House now when he was in the governor's mansion for 4 years, and especially the last two, and did so very little to close the budget deficit that we're facing in the state. He filled the gap with one-time stimulus money, made no real cuts, and during the course of his campaign really no plan of what he would have done to make the situation better, and now he's down there saying, I would have done this or I would have done that. I think it's disingenuous, and I think it's indicative of the lack of leadership that he showed during his 4 years.
And why he's not there now?
Yeah, absolutely. Had he said anything, outlaid any plan, he probably would have won. As far as the public unions, I think the big problem is this. Their political interests contribute hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars to campaigns. They're essentially electing their own bosses throughout the state, and our elected officials and school board members, a lot of times their main goal is to get a contract on the books and kick it down the road. So they may, they're not thinking long term, whereas a corporation negotiating with a trade union or something along those lines has to think about the long term viability of a contract for their company's best interest. A lot of time our elected officials, they don't have to think about that. They're thinking, what's going to get me through the next election cycle? What's going to get me the next endorsement? And I think overall we have to think that public unions are such a small percentage of our overall workforce in Ohio, which has just been devastated. So I don't think it's out of line, asking folks to take a large or not even a large, a minimal cut in pay, pension benefits. I keep hearing this, the term shared sacrifice. I think you could tell that public employment is probably one of the only things in this state that has grown.
Well, I know state employees have been under a freeze for, I think, 2 or 3 years. But I wanted to ask you something. It's one thing to ask them to make a sacrifice monetarily or with their benefits and that sort of thing. What about the collective bargaining issue? Should they be able to collectively bargain, or is there any benefits, or what do you think about that?
You know, I come from a union family. And I would say that there's a huge difference from, the guys that are working in a factory, or manual labor, that sort of thing, that were bargaining for safe workplace environments and were consistently shorted by management. I don't have a problem with that. You know, the UAWs of the world, I think those folks are doing their due diligence. It's do I think it belongs in the public sector. No, I think I echo FDR when it, no, public unions, and they just don't jive with what government should be delivering. And that's from FDR.
Okay. The state workforce was reduced under Ted Strickland. Former Governor Strickland would say that is what he did to cut costs and that sort of thing. But that's
an $8 billion deficit.
Well, projected. Good Lord willing, it's a little less than that. But listen, thank you, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for your call. Take care. Bye-bye. We have to take a break. In fact, we should have 2 minutes ago. So we'll take a break right now, and we'll get right back to this conversation. So stay tuned. You can call 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you would like to join the conversation. We'll be right back. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.
WOSU Public Media presents the Columbus Metropolitan Club's Wednesday Forum. Wednesday at noon, it's the rare earth situation, a discussion of the natural elements that are vital to many U.S. manufacturing sectors. These natural resources play an important role in innovation, economic growth, and national security. But there are concerns over the finite supplies of the materials. Tickets and more information at columbusmetroclub.org.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from Ohio State's Comprehensive Cancer Center, rated exceptional by the National Cancer Institute. More information about Ohio State's Comprehensive Cancer Center is at cancer.osu.edu.
23 degrees in downtown Columbus. Scattered snow showers today, a high of 32. Partly cloudy tonight and a low of 19. Some sunshine for Wednesday and a high of 42. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about Senate Bill 5. That's the bill that's pending in the Ohio Senate. It's its fourth hearing there. It would eliminate collective bargaining rights for Ohio's public employees. That's a lot of people, including teachers, police and fire, state workers, you name it. It's thousands and thousands of Ohio taxpayers who would lose their collective bargaining rights as union units. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's hear from one of a group of educators yesterday, Kathleen Arthur. She's a retired teacher from the Cleveland area who showed up at the State House with her fellow teachers yesterday.
And we need to sit together with the Board of Education and work things out. We both sides need to be represented. This is America. Everybody has a voice, not just the party in charge.
And to that end, Bob from Columbus, welcome to the show. You say negotiation is vital.
Hi. Yeah, the American Revolution was fought under the title of no taxation without representation against structural problems like the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think that it's worth saying no negotiation without union representation.
Okay, the same kind of principle at work.
Right, and I can't see how people can be so treat the American revolutionaries in 1776 as being so holy, and then get down on people who are doing pretty much the same thing, asking for the same thing, representation against the structural power of a king.
Okay, well, thanks, Bob.
Sure,
take care.
You.
I'm reminded that the state workforce was reduced by about 5,000 workers under the Strickland administration. So that's about a little over 1,000 workers a year. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you have a comment for the rest of our listeners. And Arnie in West Jefferson, you're on the air. You support Senate Bill 5.
I do.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I think the problem is these people forget who they work for sometimes. They work for us. And over the last couple of years, we've all taken pay cuts, you know, as John Q. Public, and they keep getting pay raises. You know, we're always having ballots on, up the taxes. How about get off my taxes a little bit? You know, and what's wrong with standing on merit for a change? If it wants collective bargaining, I was in the union years ago. I was a union steward.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a little disgruntled sometimes about, you know, do your job and do it right. You know, work your 8 hours a day and go home like everybody else does. Don't rely on collective bargaining to protect you. You know,
do you see any value in collective bargaining, though? You were a steward, so you must have had...
Absolutely, I do. And there are some companies out there that need a union. Absolutely. I work for a place that if it wasn't for the union, yeah, you'd be making minimum wage, you know, no overtime. But I don't see that happening. If the company I work for now has a employee handbook, and you go by the handbook, and it's really cut and dry. You don't need collective bargaining if you have a decent employer. And as far as I know, I'm pretty sure the state of Ohio is a decent employer.
Well, some people might say because of collective bargaining.
In the past, absolutely. Not the state workers, I don't believe. I don't think teachers or state employees have ever been, you know, work 12 hours a day for half pay and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it would go back that way. We have too many other fail-safes in position to stop all that. So it's not like they're going to come on and go, okay, we want you teachers to start working 80 hours a week. Mm-hmm. That isn't going to happen. And get off my paycheck a little bit.
Okay. Well, Arnie, thanks for your call.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Let's hear from Matt Mayer. He is with the Buckeye Institute. It's a conservative think tank that has not taken an official stance on Senate Bill 5, but has proposed shrinking union power. He says educators and others need to reconsider their position.
You're either going to have to raise taxes by about $8 billion on property owners who aren't going to vote for those kind of tax increases, or you're going to have to massively reduce compensation packages, and there's no way that the teachers union would ever agree to those kinds of cuts because that's not what they do. They'd rather see a few teachers hung out to dry and lose their jobs than have a gains that they've gotten over the last two decades curb back.
We can't afford to pay them what we're paying them. We can't afford to pay them the retirement plans that they have been promised through collective bargaining. What do? Do we just lay off people and keep the same sort of packages, or do we change the paradigm? 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Sandra from West Jefferson, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are opposed to Senate Bill 5.
Yes, I am. I think that the reason I'm calling is the fact that, according to the news reports, the unions in Wisconsin are willing to give and, in fact, have agreed to all the issues that impact the budget this year. But yet collective bargaining is still on the table and is the deal breaker. And I think it's probably going to be similar in Ohio. But the main point of my call is how much media attention is now with regard to actually middle-class people opposing and pitting against other middle-class people that are in support of this bill. And there's no conversation about all the tax breaks that's given to the wealthy. Another proposal on the table right now is the elimination of the estate tax. Has there been any kind of cost-benefit analysis with regard to how much that's going to cost taxpayers, as opposed to how much this elimination of the teachers or the union's benefit is going to aid the benefit of the budget?
Proponents of Senate Bill 5, I would imagine most of them are also proponents of the elimination of the estate tax. That's sponsored by a representative from the Newark area, Jay Hattinger. And they say that because the local governments will be taking hits, particularly wealthier suburban local governments will be taking more hits if and when the estate tax is eliminated or reduced, that this is exactly what they need. They need more flexibility at the local level to set wages and set compensation packages.
All right. But how much is it costing to eliminate I do think the estate tax in Ohio is too low a limit. It is out of line with other states that do have that bill.
You think the threshold should increase?
Correct.
Okay.
I do think it should increase. But now doesn't seem to be the time to to be giving more tax breaks to the extremely wealthy in the state and taking it away from the middle class. But again, the media attention is all on the middle class and what we need to give up yet again.
Okay. Sandra from West Jefferson, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And I want to know if you're for Senate Bill 5. We want to hear from you just as much as the opposition. 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And hang on to those phones. Our screener's headed right back there right now to get your call. We have a question from Johnny. Maybe one of the callers can answer it. Why do highly educated people need unions? Can't they take care of their own professional career like the vast majority of us? So if you oppose Senate Bill 5, if you're pro-union, it'd be great to have you answer that question. Why do highly educated people need unions? Can't they take care of their own professional career like the vast majority of us? An email from Kate in Victorian Village. As I see it, Senate Bill 5 really exemplifies the chronic and frustrating political issue here in Ohio, that Ohio voters vote against their own interests. The elitist Kasich does not care, nor has he ever cared, about the working class that built and maintains this state. I think it is time for all Ohio voters to take a long look in the mirror and see who they really are. The people of Ohio embody the fabric of hard work and steadfastness. Why would anyone vote against their own interests? It is mind-boggling. 614-292-8513. And Matt in Columbus, welcome to the show.
Hi.
You're kind of middle of the road.
I'm kind of middle of the road. I'm not sure whether I support Senate Bill 5, but there is a practical, a non-political reason why they might want to take that step. I'm not saying necessarily it's not a political move on their part.
Okay.
But if you look at, given the fact that the state budget is largely made up, at least state spending is largely made up of payroll, so any solution is going to have to involve cutting spending on payroll somehow. Mm-hmm. Now, if the state of Ohio was a private sector company like General Motors, and it had a deficit and it went bankrupt, its collective bargaining agreement with the union goes away. And yet in the state of Ohio can't go bankrupt.
Right.
So they don't have that option. So, I mean, the people talk about the private sector and the working class. Well, the private sector working class people aren't protected necessarily if their employer goes south. And yet right now, a state employee is.
I don't know if the auto company was the best example, Matt, but I get your point.
But I mean, but any company that declares bankruptcy is, all of their agreements with their union employees and everybody else are basically broken because they're out of money.
Well, I mean, the state has laid off 5,000 people in the last 4 years, and those jobs went away.
Yeah, but that's eliminating a job and cutting a job as opposed to negotiating on salary.
Okay. And, the unions have said they're willing to negotiate. What do you think about the one big difference between the Senate Bill 5 in Ohio and House Bill 11 in Wisconsin is that the Wisconsin measure does not include police and firefighters. Some folks believe that's because the police and firefighters supported the Republicans in charge of the state house in their election efforts. Be that as it may, do you find it less palatable as someone in the middle that police and fire are put together with teachers and other public employees?
I do. I also agree with your initial statement. If the parties should actually sit down and negotiate and work it out, Senate Bill 5 wouldn't be necessary. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether they can.
Okay.
Or are willing to, let's put it that way. But, yeah, when you look at public safety employees, you can't – I'm trying to say this without trying to pick on anybody else. It's harder to find qualified people to fill those spots if the people who are in them now go away. Because there's a lag in training, because there are things they have to learn specifically for their job.
Mm-hmm.
Versus teaching, could you replace a 25-year teacher with a 5-year experience teacher, I guess, and that would be cheaper. I don't advocate that because I think our senior teachers are real are very important and a real treasure for us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think the public safety side, you know, probably needs to be treated a little bit differently.
Okay. All right, Matt, thanks for your call.
Sure.
Take care. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we have right now everybody online, and there are a bunch of you are all opposed to Senate Bill 5. And I'll get to as many of you as I can, but I'm really encouraging folks who support Senate Bill 5 or are kind of in the middle and aren't quite sure how they feel about it to give us a call as well. I want to keep the discussion as balanced as possible. So if you support Senate Bill 5, please give us a call. We'll get your call in, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I saw a little nugget in the Columbus Dispatch today. Jim Siegel wrote it in the Capitol Notes section about Senate Bill 5. It was some comments made by State Senator Bill Seitz of Cincinnati. He's a Republican, as most are, all but 10, I think, last count. He said that he would prefer a more consultative process and a less confrontational process. He said he would have preferred doing things the way they were done with asbestos tort reform, DNA, and criminal investigation changes, and many other controversial things. He said, quote, "You diffuse the situation. You avoid the three-ring circus of public hearings, which simply escalate controversy. And you get the relevant stakeholders in rooms for as long as it takes to hammer out an adult agreement." He added, "I don't think throwing this out there was conducive to getting a good agreement." What do you think about that? What about the process? 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And let's take a break right now, and we'll get to those calls when we return. 614-292-8513. And if you are supportive of Senate Bill 5, please give us a call. We will get you on the air. If you're middle of the road, same thing. If you're opposed to it, we have lots of those calls, and we will get to as many as we can. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Listen to local news from the award-winning WOSU News team and national news from NPR on the new 89.7 NPR News. And be sure to enjoy the best in classical music on the new Classical 101. Classical music all day, every day. It's all news on 89.7 NPR News and all classical on Classical 101. For more information and to stream our services online, visit WOSU.org.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, hour two of the program begins, and we'll hear about a new pro bono counseling program to link volunteer mental health professionals with those in need in Central Ohio. Also next hour, we'll discuss the Columbus Development Commission recently okayed the rezoning of Cooper Stadium for a racetrack. We will hear more about that and the next steps in the process next hour on All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the Central Ohio Trauma System, working with community partners to make Central Ohio a safer place to live. Details about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation and supporting the Central Ohio Trauma System are at goodhealthcolumbus.org.
23 degrees in downtown Columbus, a little bit of snow today, a high of 32 degrees, partly cloudy tonight and a low of 19, mostly sunny for Wednesday and a high of 42. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Senate Bill 5. Are you for it or are you against it or are you not quite sure? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you want to join the conversation, I have an email. If you'd like to email us, you can go to allsides@wosu.org and make your question or issue your question or comment there. We have an email from Judy right now. She writes, "I am a teacher home on a snow day grading papers. I work in a struggling school district financially. In the past 3 years, we have not seen a raise. Our benefits have been reduced, and we pay greater contributions toward our benefits. The net sum is a negative for most of us. I don't think we are in the minority. It irks me to hear claims that we refuse to bargain in good faith with our districts. The fiscal problems shouldn't be blamed on unions. Perhaps public officials should look at their polarizing policies before they take away the rights of public employees. Thank you, Judy, for that email. If you'd like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. And looks like we have three more coming down the pike. So thank you for your comments and thank you for your participation. I want to talk to Dennis right now. Dennis, you're on the air. You're from Xenia, and you oppose Senate Bill 5, and you're a union rep. So tell us, you said that someone got something wrong there.
Yeah, there's a number of things that people are misinformed about. I'm a union rep. I bargain with public sector employers, specifically the schools.
Okay.
And the employers have no problem telling us that they can't increase the wages or, in some cases, the benefits due to budget constraints.
Mm-hmm.
And that few people realize that there's a law on the books that says they cannot agree to, they being the schools cannot agree to a contract they cannot afford.
Okay.
And I've been told that more than once.
So that's a protection.
That is a protection for the school districts,
mm-hmm.
and it's a restraint on the unions. And in other words, we're not going to bargain ourselves out of the picture or bargain to the point that the taxpayers can't afford it. Because it's based off of projected income. It's not, based off of any new tax levy passing. And we've taken cuts. And our health care in some of the places, people are paying an enormous amount of health care. And the people that we represent, some of them don't get 40 hours a week. And that's getting missed here. So their income level, as an example, a bus driver, they may make $18 an hour, but they only work 6 hours a day. Or teachers' aides, that handle special needs children, they only work during a certain period of the day, and it doesn't equate to a 40-hour work week. And so the Senate Bill 5 isn't really, in our opinion, or my opinion, about balancing the budget, because the budget wasn't created by union demands. The budget deficit was created through the economy, layoffs, lack of taxes coming in, businesses leaving,
mm-hmm.
and people losing their jobs, so the loss of taxes.
Dennis, what do you think has led to this? It's clearly from the looks of my caller lineup here, most people oppose Senate Bill 5 on who are on the line, and I'll get to the folks that oppose it and the people who are supportive of it in a second. But the image of unions, you're not the first person to call today or email us today saying, everyone's got it wrong. We're not doing that at all. We're making concessions. We're giving up raises. We're taking hits to our benefits. Why is it that people have this other image of unions then, do you think?
I think that I call it corporate America has more influence over that than the unions do. And simply put is, they put the message out there and it's accepted. And that the unions, if they have a shortcoming, have not projected, the things that, like I've said, is, our $8 billion budget deficit in Ohio isn't because of the teachers or the firefighters' salaries, wages, or benefits. It's because of other factors, and that's getting missed. If Senate Bill 5 were to pass, okay, it will not solve our budget deficit, and people are too quick to jump on a bandwagon, and they need to understand a little bit more, and programs like this hopefully will help them do that.
All right. Dennis, thanks for your call. Take care.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. 614-292-8513, or you could email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Rex from Delaware, you're on the air, and you support Senate Bill 5.
I sure do.
Tell us why.
Well, Despite what Dennis just said, I think it does raise our taxes every time they get an increase in their pay. I think that can be proven. AFSCME puts out a magazine every month. And in that magazine, in the last, the last couple of issues anyway, there have been articles in there about public employee unions picketing state houses to raise taxes so that they could have more money. And that's been going all over the United States. In Illinois, they picketed and they got a 66% income tax rate increase. They want to do the same thing here. And you can only do that so long before you're smashing the middle class as well as everybody else. What they're doing might not be to actually single-handedly destroy the budget, but it's certainly piling on.
You're not talking about the protesters down at the State House today that are opposed to Senate Bill 5, are you?
You're talking about the ones who didn't go to work today so they could protest?
If you want to cast it that way, it's your prerogative. But, yeah, I'm talking about the people who are opposed to Senate Bill 5.
Yep.
You think that they're asking for higher taxes?
I think that that's the logical outcome of what they're asking
okay.
for.
All right. Do you think that people should have collective bargaining rights? What about police and fire? That is not included in the Wisconsin bill. Does that make you more comfortable if police and fire were taken out, or do you feel the same way about public employees across the board?
I think that our leaders in the past, somebody had quoted Roosevelt before, they knew what they were doing. They didn't include public employee unions when they set up collective bargaining, and they didn't do it because they could see the disaster that would come because of it, and I think it's here.
Okay. All right, Rex, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513, and Beata from Columbus, welcome to the show. You're not quite sure. You're in the middle on this one, huh?
I am. I think having it be across the board is never a good thing, but I really object to the gentleman who was saying that teachers aren't willing to to lose a day's work or to cut back on their pay so other teachers can keep a job, because the teachers I work with are not like that at all. They're very willing to work like a day or two without pay so that they don't lay off any teachers, but they don't want the money to go to general funds. They want to be sure it's to keep teachers in the school, and that's where they come down. But the other gentleman who said about teachers, the 25-year teachers and things, I know a lot of good teachers who have been around for 25 years, but there are a lot who they're really not that crazy about the kids nowadays, and they are not willing to do differential teaching. And for them to maybe retire so that the younger and cheaper teachers could get out in there would probably help the budget and help schools.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Beata.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Ronald, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. You oppose Senate Bill 5. Hi, Ronald.
Hi, hello. Yeah, I've been sitting here very patiently listening to the pros and the cons on I oppose Senate Bill 5, but I'm a retired police officer, and I was in the public service before our union became rogue.
And what was that like?
I'll tell you, you didn't get paid overtime. You didn't get paid for a lot of time. Going to court, things like that. Public bargaining, as far as I'm concerned, collective bargaining for public employees was the best thing that ever happened, to public service employees. This not only applies to police officers and firemen, but the guys that work in corrections. You talk to any of these guys, some newer guys, they don't have any concept of what it was like, but I know. I mean, I sat in court many a day, all day long. And they said, we forgot to tell you your case was canceled at 8 o'clock and I never got paid for it. Or if I worked over, I said, maybe I had a fatal accident. I worked 3 or 4 hours over. I never got paid for that. But one other thing I wanted to address, too, they were talking about people, like doctors and other professional people not having unions. If you check it out with everything, a lot of your college professors and even some medical professionals are organizing what they call professional associations. Because they cannot necessarily go in and negotiate and get a fair and, equitable salary. And in most cases, I think what they're overlooking, I think most cases, unions are willing to sit down and negotiate. Now, when I was negotiating, we took a two-year wage freeze. They said things were bad, the county didn't have the money. We took a two-year wage freeze. In most cases, they're willing to sit down and do it, but it gets kind of emotional, especially for cops and firefighters out there. We're out there, I'm not anymore because I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
In your life day after day, these people figure like, you know, you shouldn't get paid a reasonable and equitable salary for it. That's hard for me to accept.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, and thanks for your service.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We've got a lot of antis, and I'll get to them. Abe in Worthington's next. But if you support Senate Bill 5 or you're kind of on the fence and some of it's good, some of it's not so good, let us know. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have an email. We have a tweet. You can Twitter us, too. Ann Fisher, WOSU, will work. This is from Knapsack regarding Senate Bill 5. It may need modification, but key point is this. We're going to be paying more taxes with or without the bill. The question is, how much more? And Abe from Worthington, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. You know, those of us who have lived long enough have seen what happened when there was no collective bargaining with teachers, for instance. I remember when Westerville teachers struck because they were teachers on food stamps at the time. And our esteemed governor thought that they should be jailed. Now, one of the things that reduction in benefits and salaries that may well be inevitable, but I think that the collective bargaining part is critical. One of the things that you see in the Declaration of Independence is the consent of the governed, and pretty much that's what happens with public sector employees. If you allow governments to do what they want without the consent, you're going to have turmoil. It's inevitable you're going to have turmoil. And one of the other things that has happened, actually, is that the Republicans, and I think that establishment in general, is taking advantage of two human emotions. One, greed, and the other one is jealousy. And this is why they have whipped one side of the middle class against another side of the middle class.
What do you think about separating it when you're talking about, well, in Wisconsin, they took the police and fire out of it. Does that make the bill stronger or weaker, Abe? What do you think?
I think that as somebody mentioned, it's because of a political thing. I mean, I think Walker was paying his supporters back. I mean, and that's reality in politics. You get people paying their supporters back or punishing their opponents, and this is what's happening here in Ohio with the collective bargaining. I think collective bargaining is absolutely essential to prevent turmoil. Now, just think about this. There are people, and there was a column in the paper this morning by Vedder that mm-hmm. says that right-to-work laws would be good. Okay, that right-to-work law says you don't have to join a union to get a job. Now, what the House bill, Senate Bill 5, and the bill up in Wisconsin does is say you can't have a job if you want to join a union and do collective bargaining. I mean, this is hypocritical. You're talking about the same thing in two different directions. If it hurts me, it's good. If it hurts you, it's good. If it hurts me, it's bad. And that's where we are. And we need a civilized discussion about what is needed to keep from having turmoil in the public sector.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks,
Thank you.
Abe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We got a lot of calls. Thank you very much for your call.
Bye-bye.
We are running out of time. I want to get to as many folks as I can, including Joe in Worthington. We'll stay in the same geographic area, but you are supportive of Senate Bill 5. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I would like to take a step back and look at this from a different view. To me, it's not about teacher salaries or public worker salaries. I think the vast majority of the community here understands that that we need to pay our teachers, and I think there's a very small minority who thinks that they're overpaid. I think in some cases they're paid well, and I think in other cases a lot of people would say they're not paid enough. However, I don't think that this is about that, and I think that there are just an enormous amount of calls that are making this about the salary of the teacher. And I think that this is more about, to me as a person, it's more about giving control back to the taxpayers and the community and giving us a chance to change the educational system for the better, is my hope. And what I'm talking about here is we've removed any sort of financial incentives from and I'll use the education again, it's an easier example. We've removed financial incentives to work harder and do better and become a better teacher. And we've seen by your calls and your emails, you just had an email of a teacher who's home on a snow day and grading papers, and there are lots of teachers who are like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones we want to reward and the ones we want to keep around. However, the unions and the collective bargaining process has set up a system where there are no incentives or disincentives for behaving in the opposite way. So you have those teachers who show up, go through the day, as soon as the bell rings, they're gone, and they don't think about school or their job until the next day. And they're either underperforming or mediocre, but they have 20 years experience and they can collect their $90,000 and move on. And you have teachers at the bottom end who are exactly the opposite. They're working 60, 70 hours a week trying to do the best they can, and they're maybe they have 2 or 3 years experience, and they're going to be on the chopping block because we're out of money.
Okay.
And I think that's a shame, and I think that Senate Bill 5 addresses that core problem. And I think when we wake up, if this bill were to pass, we wake up the next day, teachers, we all still need teachers, we all still need to pay them, and life is going to go on, but we now have a chance to address some of these issues.
All right. Joe from Worthington, thank you for your call. We're out of time. And real quick, an email from a listener. State workers had to take 10 days without pay, no raises, and they don't receive Social Security. Everyone wants to blame them for the deficit in Ohio. That's all the time we have. Thanks for the folks who emailed and didn't get them on, and the callers. Thanks to all of you for calling today. That's all the time we have. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.